Amen. Well, I forgot to do some things like I always do. Amen. I'm so informal, it's ridiculous. But my wife is over here. Amen. Her name's Jody, and she's the mother of them six children. We'll go to stores and restaurants, and they'll always go, "Your children are so good." And I'll say, "You ought to come to the house with me." And I'll tell them, I'll say, "Yep, they're all ours." They'll always say, "Are these all your children?" "Yep, they sure are. All from the same woman." Amen. Nowadays, they got his and hers and his, and everybody's different ones, but I'm not slamming anybody if that's the way, but I like the old traditional family, amen? And so we thank the Lord for my wife, and she's traveled on this road just as long with me, and I take my family with me, and I'm not knocking the guys that don't, but I take my family with me. I like them to be with me, amen? There's enough sin out there and mess. I don't need them destroying my family, nor do I need it destroying me, and so we travel together. And the Lord opens the doors where He wants us to go, and it's just a privilege to be here. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm in church tonight. Amen. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And anytime the Lord opens the door for us to be able to go somewhere, it's always a privilege. I want to say thank you to the youth department, Brother Jason, amen, and his helpers for allowing me to come, preacher for allowing me to come. I had a good time with the teenagers, amen. I don't know if they had a good time with me, but I had a good time with them. And I think there's one saved this morning, so that was a blessing. And it's just good to serve the Lord. So this is the fifth time preaching in 2 days, but that's all right with me. That's what I was called to do, is preach. Amen? And so I'm glad to be here. Really, I am thrilled to be here. And it's just a privilege. My family and I respect your preacher, love him to death. And don't get to see him a whole lot. Don't know him as well as some. But ever since the first time I met him, man, our hearts were knit right away. And I have the utmost respect for him, and I'm not the only one. I'll tell you this, I'm sure you heard it before. There's a lot of people around the country that have respect for him too, amen? If I'm amongst preachers and his name comes up, it's always something good to say, and I thank the Lord for that. 1 Kings chapter number 19 tonight, 1 Kings 19. I will say just a little more about the tent ministry. Fellas, if you can give me any monitor, that'd be great. 1 Kings 19, but I didn't say a whole lot about the tent, but you saw the picture of the tent truck on there. It's a Freightliner, 24-foot box. We got her loaded down to the gills, amen. We have a 1,500-seat tent, which is a blessing to have. It's heavy, a lot of work. It makes three different sizes, so we can go to churches and hold three, maybe small churches, medium-sized churches, larger churches. And so last week we put up two poles. As a matter of fact, it's still up. I got to go back and take it down tomorrow. But two poles are up. That's the mast pole. We call it a pole. There's three big mast poles to it. And so if you put the whole thing up, it'd seat about 1,500. And the Lord's given us sound equipment, of course, with that. We got a 12 by 24-foot platform, three good big-size air conditioner fans anyways. But anyways, they're not air conditioned, they're fans. That's the air conditioners, the big fans, all the lighting system, songbooks, piano, everything. Amen? So the Lord's provided all that. I figured out one day it's probably approximately $70,000 worth of equipment. Of course, we bought the truck used. The tent cost $30,000. God gave us the money for that. Not that I'm rich, just churches paid for it. Amen? And all that equipment's paid for. And the only thing that the biggest expense we have is fuel, breakdown, and food. Praise God. So those three things right there keep anybody in debt. But anyways, that's what we spend the money on, amen, is the food, the fuel, and the breakdowns. But God's given us a wonderful ministry. And we go to a church, and literally, we can set the tent up and start meeting and not take one thing out of the church building. Amen. I mean, we might borrow a table. I shouldn't say one thing. We might use a table to put some stuff on. But other than that, the Lord's provided everything, all the way down to the offering buckets. Praise God. And so the Lord's been good to us. But I sure appreciate your prayers. If you want to pray for us, we do have some prayer cards on the back table out in the foyer. You take one with you tonight. I'd appreciate it. 1 Kings chapter number 19, amen, verse number 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servants there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came the second time, and touched him, and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose, and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights in the Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave, and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth, and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and went out, and stood in the entering in of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him, and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Let's pray. Father, Thank you, Lord, for the great privilege to be able to preach here. Lord, I need you. Lord, I pray for the help and the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Father in heaven, I pray your people, Lord, would now take the things off their mind that's distracting them. Maybe the things of the world, the things that they've been busy with. May take the next few moments and listen. And Father in heaven, I pray you'd move in a mighty way and do something in the hearts of your people that only you can do. God, I pray that you change lives tonight. Father, I pray for decisions to be made that would glorify you. God in heaven, I need you. Father, I pray that there not be any sin in our hearts. God, I pray that we'd be clean vessels. Father in heaven, I pray that I would be a holy and clean vessel. God, wash me, cleanse me. As I've already prayed, but God, I pray again. Lord, I want to be clean. Father, I pray that God, you use this vessel to glorify you. I pray no attention comes to me, but God, it all goes to you. Father, I thank you for the great privilege again, the honor to be in this wonderful place with these fine people. Father, I pray that God, you please, would use the message to help your people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The Bible said down here in verse 12, I'm sorry, go back up if you would to verse number 11. And he said, go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, pay attention to this phrase, a still, small voice. And then it said it down there in verse number 13, toward the end of the book, it says, and behold, at the end of that verse, it said, and behold, there came a voice unto him. I want to preach tonight just for a little while on this subject, listening for the voice. Now listen, church. We live in a world today where the minds and the hearts of men are running constantly. And our minds are thinking and hearing and seeing the things that we are around each and every day. And as far as quiet America, it's gone. We live in a multimedia world. Think with me tonight. We live in a world of noise. We live in a world of moving pictures. We live in a world of fast scenes that are flashing before our eyes on television, if you have one. We live in a world of the loud music, and it's booming and screaming at us in the car next to us. And we live in a world, if you would, of great action. We live in a world of thrill. I mean, people today are not acquainted with quietness. People today are not acquainted with calmness, if you would. America likes it busy. Most people in America enjoy the busy life. They like running hard. They jump up in the morning and run hard as they can and fall into bed at night. And it's a very busy, wild world that we live in. And today, many people will get up, and the first thing that they do, because they're so used to being so busy, is they'll turn on the television, or maybe they'll flip on a radio, or maybe they'll go in there, move the mouse, and get the internet going, see what's going on in the news. And the life of most people is all about action. It's all about noise. It's all about thrill, and many people can't hardly stand it just to be quiet because they're so used to the fast-paced life. And today, you think about it, the billboards are flashing their bright colors and their fast-changing signs. You got the cell phones that are ringing. You got the iPods today that are playing and the iPhones. You got the internet and all of its filth and all the action that's running rampant on the internet. You got department stores and the grocery stores that now have the televisions that are hanging from the rafter. You pull up to the gas stations and there's some televisions, even at some gas stations today, where you're pumping your gas. I mean, it's constantly, man, the things are going. It's keeping the mind preoccupied. And today it's a fast-paced world that we live in. It's a very noisy world that we live in. It's pictures flashing, phones ringing, message-sending world with lots of excitement. And our minds is constantly moving and constantly thinking about what's going on over here, what's going on over here, what we got to do and what we have done. And it's a run, hard life that we're in. And unbeknownst to us, it's all been designed by Satan himself so that you will not listen for the voice of God. Satan doesn't want it to be quiet. Friends, Satan doesn't want you living in a quiet world. Satan doesn't want you listening for the voice of God. Because when you hear his voice, business picks up, friend, in a person's life. And the Bible teaches us that the voice of God is a still, small voice. People are following right in the footsteps of the devil, doing exactly what he wants them to do. Our churches don't even realize it. I'm talking about good people, friend. Many people today, they are so used to it being busy that they're not even realizing it's not quiet. People today don't like to listen and be still. People don't want to listen for the voice of God. They like it loud. They enjoy the fast-paced life. You watch people, they're sitting down doing nothing. It won't be long and they'll say, man, we got to do something. That's because we're so used to going. This preacher's guilty. People have not trained themselves to listen for God. America doesn't like to think anymore. Most American people today don't like to listen. Can I say something to you, church? God wants to speak, and He is speaking, but very few are listening. You think about it today, people are used to loud music. We are. We're used to it. People today are used to loud television. They're used to the phones ringing everywhere. Remember whenever some of us were younger, amen, and remember whenever only the rich man had a phone? I mean, he had the bag phone in his car, amen, with a cord coming up to his ear, you know, and he'd ride by, he'd turn at the turning lane, and you'd be sitting in the car, and you go, that dude's got a phone in his car! And I mean, you felt, man, that's the coolest thing. Now teenagers and kids are carrying them around. It's not a big deal to us anymore. I mean, what's the big deal about phone ringings? And people are used to the billboards and the computers that are flashing before them, all the excitement. Remember the billboards that when it got dark, nobody knew what was on the billboards? And then they put lights on them. Man, that was cool, wasn't it? Amen? We could see some billboards at night. Not that we should be looking at them because most of them are terrible anyways. And now they get these big, bright, flashing billboards. You can see them from a mile away flashing. We're used to it. Therefore, there's so much excitement in the world today. Listen. When they go to the house of God, they're not listening for a voice. When they come to the house of God, many times they're so used to the excitement and they're so running so hard in their cars. I mean, preacher, they just got out of the car with the music's going wide open. Just got out of the car with the billboards are flashing, the phones are ringing, the messages, they're sending the messages and what's coming across the email on the phones and the internet. And all of a sudden they come in here and they sit down and they got to stop. We got to listen for God. They're looking today for, and they're listening for a strong wind, and they're looking for an earthquake, and they want to see some fire today, and they want some excitement, friend. But friend, God said that He's not in it. The Bible teaches us over there in verses 11 and 12, if I can portray the picture for you a little bit, Elijah, if you would, he's there on the side of the mountain. The Bible says the cave there, and all of a sudden the Bible says the Lord passed by. And I believe the way I'm reading the scripture here, friend, with the commas, that as the Lord is passing by, the wind is coming too. And people automatically associate that with God. But friend, God plainly said in His Bible He was not in it. So we find the Lord's coming by, and all of a sudden, here's this great wind. I can see Elijah sitting there on the side of the cave, maybe on the outs in the edge of the cave, maybe just sitting there kind of looking around. And all of a sudden, friend, here comes this great wind. The Bible said it rents the mountain. I'm talking about rocks are breaking off the mountain. Can you imagine how exciting that was? Wind is very loud when it's roaring that hard and that fast. I can see old Elijah sitting there maybe at the edge of the cave on a rock or something. And I believe as the wind kicks up and rocks start breaking, I think he gets up, and I believe he starts sliding up on the inside of that cave, looking outside, seeing what's going on, and the rocks are breaking, and then all of a sudden there's this great earthquake, friend, and not only the rocks breaking because of the wind, now you got this great earthquake, and I can see Elijah shaking around inside the cave, wondering what in the world's going on, and the rocks are falling inside the cave, the rocks are falling on the outside of the cave, and then there's this great big fire. I mean, it's bright, it's loud, rocks are falling. Can you imagine the excitement? God said this, the Lord was not in it. Now, if the Lord wasn't in it, what was it? It was a distraction. Anytime God's passing by your life, be it known unto you that Satan's going to try to cause some distraction so you don't hear him. Friend, Elijah Elijah's fixing to hear the voice of God and hears all these distractions and Satan's trying to keep him from hearing him. And the Lord passes by and Satan brings the wind, brings the earthquake, brings the fire. That's exactly what he does in our families' lives and the homes. God's about to do something in some people's lives. And the fire comes and the earthquakes come and the winds come and a heartache and struggle and everything in the world to keep your mind off of God and keep your mind and your hearing from hearing the voice of God, because he wants to distract you. He doesn't want you hearing the voice of God. That's why church is not exciting to very many people today, because they want the excitement. They're so used to it. They want the song leader to work it up. They want the dynamic scenes and the special effects. They want the big screens, and many people today are used to the noise, they're used to the action, they're used to the fast-paced media life. And then you come to church, and it's quiet, and you have to listen for his voice, and it's a still small voice on top of that, and some people don't like it because it's going against their flesh. That's why some can watch a movie until midnight, wide-eyed, never fall asleep, but at the house of God, they struggle staying awake. Friend, it's not because you're a bad person. It's because this flesh wants excitement. But if you came to the house of God listening for his voice, you wouldn't come to church just to hang out with your friends. If you come to the house of God listening for his voice, you won't pick out the problems of the church. You won't find fault with everybody else. You wouldn't sit in church wondering when it's going to be over. Amen. You wouldn't be finding out the latest news on everybody if you came to the house of God listening for the voice of God. Matter of fact, if you came listening, you'd be too busy listening for the voice of God. You'd be wanting God to speak to your heart. You'd be waiting for the voice of God to speak to you. You'd find you a seat in the house of God. You'd sit there and you'd say, God, here I am. I'm listening for you, Lord. I ain't worried about what she's doing. I ain't worried about what he's doing. But I'm going to worship you, dear God. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to sing unto you. God, it's preaching time. Speak to my heart, oh God. Lord, I ain't heard from you in a long time. That's the way it ought to be in the house of God. Listening for his voice, friend. Listening for his voice. And church would not be a bore then, I promise you. If you want to hear the voice of God, can I just say that? You won't miss church either. If you want to hear him, you're afraid you're going to miss something. You wouldn't miss church. You wouldn't treat church as something to do. You wouldn't be sending text messages at the house of God. Who said that? Amen. You wouldn't be sending text messages at the house of God when the preaching's going on. Can I say to you, friend, you won't play games on your phone either if you wanted to hear God. You wouldn't come to church to play. You'd pay attention to God because you'd want to hear from God. There are very few today in our churches that know how to listen for the voice of God. If I told you to listen for 15 minutes, could you? Friend, being on the platform, you see a lot. Preaching, you see a lot. Preacher, you always know people aren't listening for the voice of God if they're playing or drawing. If you told people just sit and be quiet, let's just listen for God, it wouldn't be long somebody would be going through a purse. It wouldn't be long somebody would be flipping through a songbook. Wouldn't be long somebody would be scrolling down their phone, because we're so used to the action life. We're so used to the busy life that it's hard for people to sit still and listen for the voice of God. Today, people, they rush, run every direction. I got to go to the store, and we're not doing bad things. Yes, I got to go to the store. I got to go to the bank. I got to go to work. I got to run this errand. I got to go. I'm looking forward to going on the fishing trip today, and I'm going hunting, and I'm all for that. But they look forward to this and that, and they run day in and day out, and they constantly run in a fast-paced world with pictures and with noise and with all these fancy things that are taking place. They get up at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, and they run. They come home about 9 or 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. They fall in the bed. And they just drop down. Man alive, it's been a busy day. I'm wore out. And they're gone. They jump back up 6 o'clock in the morning. And they run and do the same thing day in and day out. Week in and week out. And nobody's hearing God. What the old timers used to do. The old timers used to listen. Some of you remember it. You'd go over to Grandma's house or Grandpa's house. Maybe they'd be sitting on the porch in the porch swing. Remember when you was younger when you do that? I remember going over to their houses. I remember as a young boy going over to some of the old country farm homes of the family. And somebody would be sitting there swinging on the swing. And you'd hear that screen door. And it was quiet. Remember, Grandpa would, he'd every now and then walk down the road with a piece of straw or a piece of hay stuck in his mouth. And it'd get toward the evening time when maybe the stars were coming out. He'd be walking down the road with his overalls on. Every now and then he'd just kind of look up. Grandma would be sitting maybe in that cane bottom rocking chair, rocking on the inside. She'd be knitting. If the grandkids were over playing, they'd be outside swinging on the tire swing. I mean, it'd just be quiet. People used to listen. It's not that way today, is it? Today, in most people's houses, you go over there and the televisions are wide open. You go to most people's houses and they got the internet that's going wide open. You go to most people's houses, friend, and it's either TV, internet, video games, or radio, or maybe it's the Little League, or maybe it's this meeting, that meeting. They got overtime and everything's running, everything's this. There's not hardly any quiet time. There's not hardly anybody listening for the voice of God. And today, we're not hearing God. What's God wanting to talk to you about? How can we hear Him with all the distractions? Let me give you three quick points, and I mean they're quick. Number one, His voice, in verse 13, it's a convicting voice. That's why people don't want to listen for His voice. That's why they like the noise and the action. That's why the devil keeps them so busy. That's why the devil, listen, church, it's not that you're terrible people, but listen, that's why the devil keeps your life full of noise and thrills and actions and distractions. Listen now, so that you don't get under conviction. So that you don't draw close to God and realize that you are guilty of sin and get right with God. Many people today do not realize how far from God they really are because they're so preoccupied with the thrills. They're so preoccupied, preacher, with the distractions. They're so preoccupied with the actions of the world that they're so far from God. They're not hearing His voice and conviction's not coming into their life. Remember in John 8, 9, the Pharisees were convicted when they heard the voice of Jesus. They drug that woman up there. Amen. I picture them throwing her down in front of the Lord. And they said, hey, Lord, we caught her in the act of adultery in the very act. And Moses says to stone her. We want to see what you say we ought to do. And so Jesus is down there writing in the sand, of course. And I'm not somebody that tries to tell you what he wrote. But anyways, Jesus is writing in the sand. And they're sitting there waiting on him. Amen. And I believe it's gotten quiet. And the next thing you know, the Lord gets up or looks up at him, however he does it, and said, he that was without sin, let him cast the first stone. They heard the voice of Jesus Christ. When they heard the voice of Jesus Christ, what happened? The Bible teaches us that they began to leave from the eldest to the youngest. You know why? Because once they heard His voice, conviction set in, friend. And can I say to you that whenever you're listening for the voice of God, He's going to speak to your heart about some things in your life that aren't right. And He's going to tell you it ain't right. And you're going to get it right, because conviction, friend, but are you hearing Him? With conviction comes guilt, and then sorrow, and then repentance. And Satan does not want that, friend. Satan wants it loud and busy and distractions, not quiet, so you can listen for the voice of God. But can I say to you, His voice is a convicting voice. Number two, His voice is a holy voice. The Bible says in verse 13 that He wrapped His face in His mantle. Why did He wrap it in His mantle, church? Because it was holy. When He heard His voice, He knew that wasn't any original voice. And there's something about that voice that'll make you cover up too, amen. I ain't preaching on dress tonight, but that'll help you, amen. I tell you what, we could fix the dress problem in our churches if the people would just listen for the voice of God. Because God will tell you if it's good or not, amen. But can I say to you, friend, holiness, it's a holy voice. And holiness brings shame. Those that are in sin, when they get around holiness, they have shame. I'll prove it to you. If you got sin in your life and you got something going on at the house, at your house that you know is not right and you know it's sin, if the preacher pulls up and his wife pulls up to come by and visit you, you're trying to do what? Hide the sin. Why? Because you're ashamed. Holiness brings shame. Whenever you hear His voice, it's a holy voice. And holiness, since it brings shame, it will show you what you are. It will show you how filthy you are. You won't think too highly of yourself, amen. It won't be, I'm a good Christian, I go to Faith Baptist Church, and I serve the Lord, and I read my Bible, and I pray. No, can I say to you, friend, I go to a church too, and I try to be faithful and read my Bible and praying too. But when I hear His voice, friend, it brings shame in my heart, and God shows me what's not right. Holiness will also make you want to leave sin and get out of the sinning business. Holiness, friend, not only does it bring shame, but can I say to you, holiness brings attention. It'll make you want to listen more. Remember, there was wind Remember, there was fire and there was earthquake. All that excitement was taking place, friend, around Elijah. But he paid attention. I said he paid attention to the voice. That voice is so holy, it brings attention. It makes you want to listen more. I'll prove it to you. If you're in the world and you hear the name of Jesus, does it not make you perk? Do you not listen and say, who said that? Because there's something about that name. But can I say to you, friend, not only does that name have power, but that voice has power. And it'll bring attention to your ears, friend, and you'll hear it, and you'll want to hear it more. Friend, can I say to you, I have heard the voice of God, and I don't like it when I don't hear the voice of God. I want to hear it more. I want to listen to it more. And there's no doubt that the wind, the earthquake, and the fire, and all the things in this world are exciting. There's a lot going on around us, but we ought to be listening for His voice. Let me give you this. Third one quickly. It's a convicting voice. It's a holy voice. Number three, it's a quiet voice. God's not in competition with anybody. Verse 13, the Bible said, He went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. Let me say something to you, church. Listen, He had to go where He heard the voice at. I picture Elijah, amen, sitting out there in the front. The wind's coming. He's getting a smart man. He's moving on the inside of the cave. I can see it as the earthquake comes. I see him getting a little bit farther back in the cave. And then I believe, amen, when the fire comes, he's getting way toward the back of the cave. The Bible tells us over there in verse number 13, I believe it is, it says, and went out. He was in the cave and stood in the entering in of the cave. He was back here somewhere, amen, and he heard that voice. It's like a mother. She hears that child. She knows where it come from. And he heard that voice and he knew it was out there at the front of the cave. And he went to where he heard the voice. Let me say to you, church, you're not hearing His voice if you're out in the world. You're not hearing His voice if you're in the world of sin. You're not hearing His voice if you're not listening for it. You're not hearing His voice if you don't want to go where you can hear it. And the problem is, listen, friend, you're not hearing Him if you don't want to hear it. Many minds are so preoccupied at the house of God. People come to the house of God, and man, they got so much around them. So much has been going on around them in their life outside the church. Their minds are running 100 miles an hour. Then they come to the house of God, and their minds is preoccupied, and they have to listen for a quiet voice. You got to want to hear it. His voice is heard in the house of God. His voice is heard in the closet of prayer. His voice is heard in Bible reading. How often do you get to these places? You say, well, that's simple preaching. I know it's simple preaching, but it's hard for many people to do. Can I say to you, friend, don't expect to hear the voice of God living in the world and indulging in the filth of this world. We got too many people in our churches today that are allowing the world to come into their home. And we wonder why in the world we're not seeing revival. Why in the world is God not bringing conviction? How come the altars are not full like they used to be full all the time? Preacher, whenever you'd preach on sin and you'd preach on things and the altars would be packed because people would be living their lives throughout the day and they'd hear the voice of God and they'd think about God and the things of God. They'd get under conviction, then they'd get into preaching, and then the Spirit of God would move, and the altars would flood. But today, I can go to church after church after church after church, and the altars are few. Then you'll go to a place, they'll fill up. Then you'll go to a place where it's a few. What's the problem? People aren't hearing God. Are we hearing Him? Are we listening for Him? Are we just living our lives, going through the motions? Where's the desire of God's people to hear the voice of God again? I'll give an illustration. I was at that church that you've seen the video tonight. Cornerstone Baptist Church, Matt Miller's church. Used to be, Dr. Dean Miller was the pastor there. But I was there in the tent revival in that church. The meeting went from Sunday to Sunday. Probably one of the best tent meetings we ever had. And 82 people walked the aisle and got saved in 8 days. But the meeting broke during the week. I can't remember what night it was, Tuesday or Wednesday. My wife was, what was it, honey? Tuesday, huh? She remembers. And I think it was, she said it was Tuesday night. I believe it was Tuesday night. The Satan, it's amazing. Satan, how this scripture goes along with this. Just like when the Lord passed by, Satan had all the wind, and earthquake, and fire. Well, we was up there in Colorado Springs, Colorado, up on that mountain. And we was up there, and all of a sudden, preacher said, we're supposed to get some pretty bad weather coming in. Monday night, the wind began to blow. And the wind blew an average of 60 miles an hour. Now, that tent can handle 100. I don't want to chance it, but it's supposed to handle 100. And 60 miles an hour all night Monday night. And then it began to snow on Tuesday. And we're talking about in the summertime. It began to snow on Tuesday. In the mountains, it can snow anytime. Amen? But it began to snow on Tuesday with the wind blowing. It blew hard all night long, and it kept blowing all throughout the day. It is amazing. Satan pounded on that tent and pounded on that tent. He is the prince and power of the air. Amen? And he pounded on that tent with 3 inches of snow coming down, and the flaps are coming up, and the side eaves are coming up, and the wind and snow is blowing inside the tent. The platform's soaking wet. Everything's wet on the inside from the snow, from the wind. The tent is loosening up. It's not coming down, but it's loosened up, and it's blowing and blowing. And I'm sitting there throughout the day praying and looking at that just disgusted. What are we going to do? That night, preacher said, "Well, Jason, what are we going to do?" I said, "Well, all we can do is put it in the church." And the tent preacher don't like coming inside, amen? And so we had to come inside the church, and I'm a little bit discouraged, amen? The church people, maybe, I'm sure, a little discouraged. The preacher's a little bit discouraged, but we're trying to be exciting. We're trying to be on the up, amen? You don't want to show people that you're discouraged. And I'm sitting back here on the backside of the platform in a chair where I'm supposed to be at, and the service is going on, and, man, it's just kind of going through the motions, you know, and the song leader's leading the music and doing his best, and things are going pretty good. It seems like things are starting to loosen up. You know, we're glad to be in church, and that's a shouting church, amen? You saw it, and not a whole lot of shouting going on, but then preacher said, "I want Brother Kendrick's kids to come up," and my kids came up and sang a song, and it wasn't because of us, and it wasn't because of the Holy us, it was because of the Holy Ghost, but the Spirit of God just blew through that place, and it come unglued. That bunch was standing on the pew shouting. I mean, we was having ourselves a time. All of a sudden, business picked up. The Spirit of God showed up. And we got done singing, and the song leader came up there and led some more. Man, it was exciting. It was on fire. Other people sang some specials. Man, people were shouting and having a good time. I'm sitting back here in the back of the chair, and I'm thinking, praise God, hallelujah. I'm getting ready to preach, amen. Like Brother Brown says, I feel a little preaching coming on, amen. And I mean, it was getting good, amen. And I told the preacher, I said, "Preacher, I think I'm ready." He said, "Amen, Brother Jason, it's about time." And he got up there and introduced me. And just as he got done introducing me, I'm getting up to walk, and I'm getting ready to preach, and I'm excited about preaching. It's a little distance to the pulpit, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, "I don't want you to preach yet." And I got to the platform pulpit, and I got scared to death. And I looked at the people, and I said, actually, the people are shouting, and I'm just sitting there looking at them. And they got done shouting, and I said, "Church, I said, God just said he don't want me to preach yet." I mean, I didn't know what to do. Preach, I was afraid. But I know when God speaks. And so I said, "Let's just wait." So I sat there and waited, and I'm praying, "Lord, what do I do? Lord, what do I do?" And the Spirit of God plainly said this to me. He said, "I want you to tell the people to listen for me." I did not have this message wrote. And so I said, "Church, God said he wants us to just be quiet and listen for him." This is the honest truth. I sat there and looked at them people. Seemed like forever, but it wasn't long. And they sat there and looked at me. And it wasn't long, and the preacher's son got up and came to the front. The preacher went down off the platform and dealt with his son. And while he was dealing with his son, somebody else got up and came to an altar. Somebody else got up and came to an altar. And I said, "Church, just listen for God." I told Brother Ford Glover, who was the song leader, I said, "Can you get somebody on the piano to play softly?" They began to play the piano softly. It wasn't long when the preacher throwed his hands up in the air and tears were coming down his face. I said, "Preacher, what's going on?" He said, "My boy just got saved. And somebody else was over here getting saved." And I'm not going to drag it out, but I'll tell you this. Here's what happened, church. I never preached. The invitation, the sermon never was preached. It became an invitation for probably an hour and a half approximately. People walked the aisle, praying and getting saved. When the night was over with, I never preached. 31 people got saved. 28 got baptized that night. Are you listening, church? Listen now. I didn't preach some hot, scathing message on hell, preacher. I didn't make a bunch of people doubt. I never preached. Here's what happened, church.
They heard God. When was the last time we heard Him? You know why we're not seeing revival today? We ain't hearing Him. How many times do people sit in the church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? They go through the motions. They hardly ever come to the altar because they hardly ever hear the voice of God. We're so used to going through our motions. We live day in and day out. And we go to bed at night. We get up in the morning. We go through our routine. And they're not hearing God. And people are almost bored with the things of God. The reason an adult can come to church and think it's boring, or a teenager can come to church and think it's boring, or you can say, well, I just don't get anything out of church. Can I say to you, friend, it's because you're not listening for His voice. And you probably have never heard His voice. What you're saying is, what the world is saying is, they'd rather stay home, watch TV and watch the action movies. They'd rather watch the fast scenes, play the video games with all the killing, all the action, all the excitement. And today, they'd rather go somewhere where there's contemporary music and praise teams and lots of action because they're thinking, I need some excitement. Listen, friend, listen. People are trying to make their spiritual world like their entertaining world. You can't do it! The church and the world is drunk on multimedia and excitement. The reason people can say that and won't that is because they don't know how to listen for God. And the churches today, I've seen the signs. A friend that says, tired of going to a boring church, tired of going to grandma's religion. And they'll say, come where the excitement's at, in big, bold letters. Can I say to you, they got the excitement. You go there, it's fancy, man, fancy platform, fancy pews. They got the coffee shops and they got everything going on. All the exciting music and the praise teams. They got the big fancy screens and all the best of the best. They got the fire. They got the wind. They got the earthquake. But they ain't got no God. I'd rather go to a place where the people, friend, will come out to the house of God and listen for the voice of God and mind the voice of God. I like old-time Holy Ghost religion. I'm talking about souls saved, people surrendering to God, Holy Ghost conviction, where people are coming to an old-fashioned altar getting right with God, where the teenagers are getting right with God, mom and daddy's getting right with God, people are surrendering to the mission field, surrendering to preaching, whatever it is, because they hear the voice of God. When's the last time we heard Him? When's the last time America heard Him? Fundamentalism is sickening. Everybody's trying to be the greatest. Why don't we just listen for God? Why don't we just worry about our own and listen for God? What's God telling you to do, church? He'll tell you to get saved if you're not saved. He'll tell you to get rid of sin if you got sin in your life. He'll tell you about your sin in your car. He'll tell you about your sin in your house. He'll tell you about the sin you got hidden in your closet or under your bed. He'll tell you about the sin at your job. Or He'll tell you whatever it is in your life that's not right. If you're listening for God, He'll tell you. But are you listening? I think I'm done, preacher. Why don't the pianists come to the piano tonight and play something? I'd appreciate it. Let's all stand. Father in heaven, I love you. Father, there's a little more to preach, but God, I believe that's what you want. I believe you said, stop. Lord, I'm trying to mind God. I believe you're dealing with hearts, Lord. I believe you're speaking to hearts. Father, I pray, Lord, if there's anybody who's lost tonight, they come tonight and get saved. God, Lord, I pray your people would listen for you. In the name of Jesus, I pray with no one looking around. I want you to think, church. Take a few moments. Listen for God. You can hear a lot when it's quiet. When's the last time you heard Him? Oh, I desire so much to hear Him. I want Him to talk to me. I want Him to speak to me. I want Him to guide me and lead me, encourage me, charge me. Would you come to these altars tonight, church? Would you step out and come to an altar and say, God, speak to me again? As she plays, would you come? Softly, please. Yes, softly. God, speak in your heart, church. Would you come, please? Some of us haven't heard from God in so long. Oh, why don't you ask Him to speak to you tonight, mom and daddy? Your families. Hey, is your family, is your home got God in it? Oh, man, we get so busy. Frustrations, problems. Believe me, I understand. I got 6 children. I know the frustrations and the problems that come. Ask God to speak to you again. Church, we need to listen for His voice. And we need to listen for His voice. America needs to hear God. Whatever God tells you to do tonight, would you do it? Would you mind God? Take your time at the altar, please. Don't get in no hurry. We rush so much. We're so used to running down here, praying a little prayer, getting back up, running to our seat. Spend some time with Him, church.